Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the fifth episode of the Red Beard Podcast. This episode, we are going to be talking about Roswell, New Mexico. And obviously, I got my buddy Cooley here. What's up, dude?
What up, Dad?
Yeah, what's up, dude? Yeah, for those of you who don't know, I actually had a baby girl 3 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Thanks, first. Man. Thank you. We're the first to do this live, actually. Yeah, man, it's been, that's why we didn't release an episode the past couple weeks. I've been super busy, so.
And I've been super busy, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been watching so many shows.
And you've been helping out, feeding once in a while, just kidding. no, it's, yeah, man, I'm super excited about it. And, dude, it's definitely a life-changing moment. So, but yeah, so that's why we haven't released anything, but I couldn't be happier. But it's good to be back doing the show and getting our show out to you guys. So thanks for listening. But yeah, we're going to talk about Roswell, New Mexico, and the events that occurred there in 1947. Cooley,
yeah,
what do you know about Roswell?
Like aliens, spaceships, and it's out west and like what, Nevada?
Yeah, Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah, New Mexico.
Yeah.
it's near Nevada though, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's in that area.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know, like yeah, that's saucers and
all right, I think you now you just appeared to say so
aliens, right?
So all right, so basically we'll kind of get into what exactly happened. So on June 14th, 1947, it was a dark and stormy night. But that's literally what it was. Yeah, it was a thunderstorm. A lot of lightning was going on. At that time, it is believed that one of the reasons why this flying disc may have actually crashed. Would be because it was possibly hit by lightning or the thunderstorm had some kind of effect on it. Mm. But it did go down.
Like an EMP.
Like an electromagnetic pulse. Yeah.
Right?
Is that what you meant by EMP? That's what that means. Okay, yeah. So it went down. It crashed in Roswell, New Mexico, and there was about, there's just a ton of debris that kind of spanned the course of several miles. And the first person to actually find this debris was a gentleman by the name of William Brazel, who was actually just kind of like a farmer or like a cowboy who lived in the area.
And can I just say that if I had the last name of Brazel,
yeah,
I'd have to name my junk Dazzle.
Dazzle.
So I'd be like, hey, you want to come back to the crib and get a little of this Brazzle Dazzle?
That's awful, bro. Right. All right.
It would work, though.
Stupid side note.
That would work, like, so much. I wonder if he's done that. Anyway, go ahead.
Probably not. So, anyway, so William Brazel actually found all this debris and started going through it. And then what he did was he brought it to the nearest military base and basically said, this is what I found. They actually contacted the higher ups in the government. And then before, anything else happened, all these, generals and colonels are actually flying into Roswell, New Mexico to actually figure out exactly what's going on. And there was a couple weird things about Roswell, and we'll get into that in just a second. But what's interesting is that it was published in the paper that the RAAF actually recovered a flying saucer. And then 5 hours later, there was another report that was released that said it was not a flying saucer that was captured. It was actually just a weather balloon. So within 5 hours, people went from, oh, my God, we're not alone. There's a flying saucer that was captured to, oh, it was just a miscommunication and it was a weather balloon. Nothing to worry about. And people kind of forgot about it for about 30 years or so until the 80s where there was a UFOologist who started kind of interviewing all the eyewitnesses and people that actually were there during the whole Roswell situation. And they're like, no, there was something here that was a cover up. Hmm. It wasn't just a weather balloon. One of the odd things too is that in no other time in history has a weather balloon ever been confused with a saucer. But in 1947, a weather balloon and a flying saucer apparently look exactly the same, and they can be confused when you find miles of debris. but that's okay. Whatever. One of the other things I think is really interesting is, Colonel William H. Blanchard, was the commanding officer of the 509th, contacted General Arger M. Ramey of the 8th Air Force in Fort Worth, Texas. Now, this guy took a picture with the actual wreckage that they found, and then that picture was released in the 80s. But there is another picture that was actually released when the Roswell incident happened, which was him with an actual weather balloon. So two different photos were taken, and the one with the weather balloon is the one that was released to the public, where they could be like, oh, well, it totally is a weather balloon. There it is. They found it, right? So it's interesting that they took that first picture and then it's for some reason disappeared for 30 years. So I think it's very interesting that this was kind of kept under wraps. I mean, if you think about it, in the 1940s, UFOs were kind of one of those like taboo topics that, you know, oh, who knows, like we might be alone, you know, stuff like that. But to actually have the RAAF say they captured a spaceship and then 5 hours later retract that, I'm surprised that it wasn't questioned more. So one of the other things that I would like to mention is I was watching a documentary a couple days ago about Roswell, and there was a general, and I his name escapes me, it doesn't really matter, but this guy was talking about how several people have, you know, like, you know how like when somebody's dying on their deathbed, they kind of like want to have a clear conscience, so they actually let those things out?
Yeah.
This one guy was going in for quadruple bypass surgery on his heart.
Holy shit.
Which is crazy. And he called his daughter over and said, basically said, there was something that I need to tell you. He said, you know that I actually worked. I was stationed in Roswell in 1947 when the crash happened. He goes, it was a flying saucer. He goes, I worked on covering it up. He goes, I did see the spacecraft with my own eyes. He goes, and I did see the bodies. He goes, one of which was still alive. He goes, and I just wanted you to know that. And so his daughter actually basically couldn't believe that he came out with this information because he'd been covering it up for 40 years, right? And then his daughter actually had confirmed at one point that he had confessed the same thing to her brother at another time where he had confided in him about this stuff. So, you know, it's, why would somebody on their deathbed feel the need to actually, you know, like, why would anybody tell another lie on their deathbed? You know what I mean? About something that happened. I mean, that to me doesn't necessarily provide any evidence or proof, but it provides a little bit more credibility if it's something that somebody decides to say on their deathbed where they realize they might be dying. You know, like, I can't take this to the grave. I should tell the truth.
More importantly, I mean, I think the more important question is, what was this dude doing with his life that they had to bypass his shit 4 times?
It's not eating good.
What?
Hey, my grandfather had a triple bypass on his heart.
Triple?
Triple.
This dude had a quadruple bypass.
I'm just saying. Yeah, right. Exactly. It's intense, which is why he felt, I may not walk away from this surgery. I may not wake up.
Man. So makes you think.
Yeah. So I makes you think that he probably should have been eating a lot of red meat or whatever the hell he was eating. In high just intake, like, of
that's,
salt.
That's what makes me think. Yeah, not the alien that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about that? You know, when somebody confesses something like that on their deathbed, I mean, it gives a little more credibility, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just,
I can't argue that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if you're on your deathbed and you say something, like, you're either a complete douchebag or you're telling the truth.
Right.
And he's military, so that could go either way. Who knows?
Right. I think
maybe they force fed him a lot of red meat throughout his military career, and he was like, you know what? Screw these people. I'm gonna blow their shit up right now. I'm gonna make people think that this shit is true.
So dumb. The most like any way you can find to twist it, bro. Yeah, I mean, I think
I'm just throwing out scenarios. That's yeah. All. It's not.
No, I got you.
You know, I'm not.
I've always found it kind of cheesy though when you look up Roswell and you see all these like pictures of alien cadavers that just look like they were kind of like props in a movie and we're supposed to believe that they were actually like real aliens.
Yeah, because they're actually just props.
They are. Yeah. They are. But they try to pass it off like this is the actual photos of the aliens that were taken. It's like, really?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily believe that.
Maybe an actual photo of some.
Right. I think that
styrofoam.
I mean, I think that the there was, from what I've read, there were four bodies of aliens that were actually recovered, only one of which was still alive when they actually found it. But it died. What I've read is that it died soon thereafter, like a couple hours after, because of the impact from the crash.
Mm-hmm. Because people were fucking with it.
Yeah, it's possible. One of the other things that
hurry up, open them up.
No, this was all of the wreckage was eventually taken to Area 51. And Area 51, that's why it gets like the whole, there's all this mystery about Area 51 and what goes on there. And they have like, you know, hidden spacecrafts like they do in Independence Day. Area 51, though, is where they took the original wreckage. And that is where military personnel have come forward and said that they actually saw the spacecraft and the wreckage. One of the other interesting things I read is they actually requested to have four child-sized coffins sent to Area 51. And they asked what the coffins were being used for. And they said, well, there was some sort of an accident and we just want them as a precaution. And it turns out that they were actually, those coffins were used for the alien cadavers that they found. So the interesting thing about that is why would they actually bury the alien corpses instead of actually use them for scientific research?
Let's replay that scenario, except this time
mm-hmm.
the military people that are ordering the four child-sized coffins are black men.
So do you want me to like, what do you want me to do?
Just tell me just what happens in that scenario.
I don't know, man.
I tell you what, they don't get the coffins.
That's stupid. So anyway, so they were sent there, and who knows exactly what they did with the coffins, but the fact they were child size and there were four bodies that were apparently found in the wreckage, it makes you think that they were the bodies of aliens. So one of the things that I saw in an article was the following, and I'm going to read this because this was actually really cool. This was taken from an official government document that has since been declassified and is available.
Can I just say one thing
before
you go on? You say this a lot. You always say this was taken from an official government document or whatever, right? Official military document. This is top secret document.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to go on record and say we really have no idea where the hell this came from. So, we are told that it is an official government document.
Right.
In reality, this could be Uncle Steve's, like, attempt at the great American novel.
No, it's complete. So you can definitely say that, but the thing but I know what you're saying, but these documents have been handed down or have been basically released from different people who were high up military personnel where their credentials have been verified.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've been signed by certain people and, you know, this all this stuff has been verified and it's on specific websites like the Disclosure Project where these documents have been like cross-referenced like 7,000 times where like they know that they are official. And they have been stamped and, you know, with, you know, seals and things like that, so you know they are real documents.
All right.
Because you, so that's where that comes from. It's not just something that I'm pulling offline. But this document I've seen before, and this one says, so an investigator for the Air Force stated that three so-called flying saucers had been recovered in New Mexico. They were described as being circular in shape with raised centers approximately 50 feet in diameter. Each one was occupied by three bodies of human shape, but only 3 feet tall, dressed in metallic cloth of a very fine texture. Each body was bandaged in a manner similar to the blackout suits used by speed flyers and test pilots. According to Mr., and this name is blacked out, Mr. Something Informant, the saucers were found in New Mexico due to the fact that the government has a very high-powered radar set up in that area, and it believes that the radar interference with the controlling mechanism of the saucer. So they're saying that they were found in that area because the radar affected their flight ability, and that's why it crashed. Other people have theories that it crashed because of it would be possibly hit by lightning or a thunderstorm, but we're never going to know that for sure. So this document stating that there were 3 feet tall bodies inside the actual each saucer that they found, one of which survived the crash but died after that, is coming from, like I said, an official document. I mean, that is some form of evidence, in my opinion. Like, somebody had to document what they saw and had it stamped and sealed and approved, and then it was tucked away until it was eventually declassified. You know, like, trying to cover up Roswell at this point or say that it didn't happen is like trying to prove that Santa Claus is real. You know, it's like people know Santa Claus is not real, but you tell your kids that because it's fun for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is like, okay, cool, you can say it didn't happen, but like, we have all these documents. We have, you know, investigators who have looked into it. We have newspaper articles. We found the picture with the original wreckage. So these things are very obvious that something did crash. Whether or not we're ever going to see what it was, probably not, because the government hides that stuff. Right. So I've always found it interesting too that it seems after 1947, maybe like a couple years after, like there are a lot of things that actually started to improve, like technological advances started to improve. So we were talking about this earlier, the microwave, right?
Holy shit, kid.
What? We'll talk about it later.
Matt's skinny.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, that's when I wasn't eating. So I don't know why you just picked up a picture of my...
Your Rhode Island college ID.
Yeah, I don't know why I just looked at that. Anyway, so, but I find it interesting that like there are a lot of like technological advances after 1947 when we retrieved this wreckage, right, that might have actually helped us actually improve our technology. We talked about the microwave. We're like, oh, when the microwave came out, oddly enough, the microwave... came out in 1946. Roswell happened in 1947. So that debunks that theory.
Yeah.
And what were you saying about the microwave?
No, I don't, like, I just don't, I was trying to picture like how that all went down. If that was the case, you know, like are they like walking around the wreckage and they're like, oh man, John, is it me or is it kind of hot? Like on the inside. No, totally, we should get out of here. Yeah, but before we do me a favor, throw a slab of that bacon in there. Whoa, look at that. Look at it, it's starting to sizzle. Hey, I think we got something here. Yeah, we got aliens. Man, fuck aliens. We're making microwaves. Get a mana on the line. But to further debunk that, I mean, I think you read a part of that article that said that they had metallic suits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't put metal in a microwave.
Right. I'm not saying the microwave, they had a microwave in the saucer,
they would have just blew up.
Right. But I'm saying, you know what I mean? That's dumb. So the, I mean, that's the other interesting thing is, these people that actually found these alien bodies, you know, said that they were in some type of suit, right?
Yeah.
Which protects them from whatever. I mean, it might be just a specific flight suit that they use for whatever reason. I'm not going to be able to answer that either. But I think it's pretty cool that one of the guys who actually was able to handle the wreckage said that it was not like any other material that he's ever seen in his life. It was super lightweight to the point where, like, if you lifted up a piece of it, it felt like it was going to fly away by, like, a wind, like a gust of wind.
Is this a piece of the ship?
Piece of the wreckage, yeah. He also took a knife out of his pocket and tried to, like, scratch it or dent it, and it had, like, no effect on it. So the fact that they recovered a type of material that we don't have on this Earth is also evidence that didn't come from Earth. So where did it come
from? When did they discover aluminum?
I have no idea. I mean, probably before 1947. I mean, that's been on the periodic table for how long?
Has it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we can look it up. I mean, we can find out. So
who's to say they haven't doctored the records on that shit?
Maybe. Let's see. When was aluminum discovered? 1825. So they were using aluminum, I would say, to build types of things that were already around in 1947, and probably pieces of spacecraft. Like, I think they would use aluminum and a bunch of other metals to create steel. You know what I mean? To make their aircraft more indestructible, to build weapons, to build guns and stuff like that. So titanium, silicon, I mean, all that stuff is boron. Those were all, I mean, you're talking silicon was 1823, titanium 1791, and boron 1808. So all of these things came out way before, you know, that debris was found in 1947. So
Roswell happened in 47.
Right.
We said that microwaves
1946
were created in 1946, which debunks the fact that they were created based on the technology they found in 1947.
Right.
But does it?
I mean, I don't know.
So
what's your theory?
No, I don't really have a theory. I just, I have to use the same logic that I use to say this is all bullshit, to say that it's possible that they could have doctored that shit, right? They could have said, oh, well, you know, they think it was from that. Then we can say that it was discovered or created a year earlier, right? Like, we are talking about the internet, and I've always believe that any knowledge we have is because what they want us to know. Right. And what they want us to know, about at least 50% of it is lies. So who's to say this isn't one of them?
What, when we found these different types of metals?
No, not that. I mean, I think the discrepancy in years, like 1825 to compared to 1947, is like, it's like the Grand Canyon. But what I'm talking about is the difference between 1946 and 1947. You can do that. You can say, nope, it was 46, not 48.
Oh, so you're saying that, you know? so you're saying that the microwave could have been developed like in 1947 after we found that?
Or 1948 even. Like, I mean, like a couple of years, you can wash that.
Yeah.
You can't wash like a century and a half.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes sense. It's possible.
I mean, like, you can lie about just about anything, and like, all you have to do is just put it on the internet and people believe it, you know, or put it in a book. Oh, it's in black and white. It's the truth. You know, it's like that black and white is not always the truth, you know?
Yeah. I mean, let's take a look here. So, let's see. So a timeline of United States inventions from 1946 to 1991. In 1946, there was a space observatory, a telescope that they replaced in space. You know, obviously different things. So 1947 was the transistor, which was used to amplify or switch electronic signals. A supersonic aircraft, which was able to break the sound barrier. So, which in order to break the sound barrier, you have to go faster than 600 miles an hour.
Oh,
Let's see.
That I don't really think that. So if anything at all came from the spacecraft, and I'm doing air quotes here. Right. If anything at all came from that, it would be something that maybe helped them along in research that they were already doing, because no way did they find like this spacecraft, look at it, reverse engineer it, and then create a supersonic jet. Like they were working
right,
on that
one
they
day.
Were like,
yeah, yeah.
They were super far along in that research.
Oh, no, no. I know. I'm just saying like 1947, that was one of the other things that came out.
Right, right.
Let's see. 1948 was a video game, but I mean, I don't necessarily see that you need to reverse engineer alien technology to create a video game.
they were all like looking around the debris. Ah, shit, look at this. This is fun. My kids would love this.
Yeah. Let's see.
James, get Atari on the phone.
a global navigation satellite system was 1960. I don't know. It's like a laser diode in 1962. I think that like a mini computer, compact disc, I just feel like in the next 50 years, a chemical laser, thermosonic bonding. what else?
No, yeah, like so technology.
Bioactive glass. I mean,
technology accelerated.
It accelerated, which makes me think like.
And it's still accelerating.
We weren't moving at a pace that fast up until the Roswell crash happened. So I feel like what the government does is they actually reverse engineer things, and the technology is kind of like released in small doses.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not be surprised if a couple of years after that, they developed like their own type of spacecraft because they figured out how to harness that technology. I mean, like the way that they say that it is believed that spacecrafts work is like a 0-point gravity, where it's like you can literally harness like the energy around you. There's like a magnetic field around you. And if you can tap into that, you can actually use that energy to fly or to do whatever you need to do. So, you know, that's something that they believe, is what these spacecrafts use to operate. However, there have been actually scientists who have been able to harness that, where they've had like steel balls actually placed in what they believe is a 0-point gravity magnetic field, and the ball actually levitates and they can make it move in a circle and do all these different things. So that is a real thing, but have we been able to harness it on like a large scale? I mean, we probably have, but it's not public knowledge at this point. Because there are so many like dark government black projects that we have like we're not privy to. We never will be.
Right.
You know, they
I'm privy to a lot of black projects.
Yeah, definitely.
They're all like, there's some in Providence, and I grew up next to one actually.
Black projects. stupid, bro. so dumb. So I don't know. I mean, who knows? Who knows if this stuff had an impact on technology? I feel like it did. But my official stance on Roswell is that I believe it did happen. I believe that they did actually find alien cadavers, and I would like to believe that one of them was alive, because I think that's actually really cool. But am I ever going to be able to prove this? No. I mean, I could show. The thing is that with you, dude, it's hard for me to actually talk about this stuff sometimes, because I could show you like an official document that has been like cross-checked by every single media source, like government declassifies it, like it's got a stamp of approval on it, like a government seal, like notarized, like everything, and you'll still question it. So,
well, yeah, because who's checking?
Well, dude, I mean, you
like
don't just go down
by
to
who, like other people that believe in this shit.
No, no. I mean, like they like, all right. So let's put it this way, right? Like, let's say I tell you that there was an aircraft that crashed in, I don't know, Warwick somewhere, right? Whatever. Like you don't believe me, right? But then like I bring in my uncle who works on like high security clearance, and he's got like the highest government clearance that you can get. And he's like, I worked on the project. I saw it. that here is the document that we wrote about exactly what we saw. Here you go. Like, for me, like, if you have somebody with government clearance that actually is telling you they saw it with their own eyes and this is what happened, I mean, yeah, you could question it, but why? What else besides that would you need? Like, all these people have been... You need to see it with your own eyes, but like...
Well, not just that, but I mean, I feel like my stance is just question everything.
No, I know that, but at what point...
Trust nothing.
But
trust
at what point no is it enough for you to say, okay, I stand by that, that seems real to me? Until you... if let's say you can't get to the point where... like at this point, you're never going to see that spacecraft. Like, you're just not, right? If they have it, it's just not going to happen. What would you need besides that to actually, for you to actually say, like, okay.
How about if I can give you something right now. I can give you something, Tony. How about if I said and truly, truly meant that if I saw with my own eyes a flying saucer with aliens in it, and it came by, landed, they came out, waved, got back in, and took the fuck off. If I said that wouldn't surprise me, and I wouldn't, it probably wouldn't even faze me. I'd just be like, oh shit, that just happened. Like, I wouldn't, like, it wouldn't be like, oh my god, I can't believe I saw that. It wouldn't surprise me, but I'd have to see it.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying? Like, yeah. In my mind, I've written tons of stories and tons of things that I want to believe in, and tons of things that, like, fantasy and sci-fi and superhero shit. Like, if I ever saw these things in real life, it would blow my mind subtly, but it wouldn't, like, because I live in these fantasy worlds, man. Like, I really do. It's like escapism for me. And, like, yeah. If it ever happened, it'd be like, wow, cool. Like, the world is finally fucking something that I can actually exist in and and interact in. And I actually feel at home. Like, right now, I don't feel at home. I feel like I'm the alien here. Right. So if it ever happened, it'd be like, whoa, cool. Right. So hopefully that's something that I can give you that lets you into my brain. But I can't, like, because everything is science fiction, I just don't trust anybody.
Let me ask,
like,
you this.
I don't trust anything that somebody puts in front of me, because I know how things can, I know how the brain works. I know how people can, like, create things that make other people believe it. And I know if you get enough people to corroborate it, all you need is, like, at least two or three people to be on your side that will draw other people in, because those two people will get two or three people, and then they'll get two or three people. And all of a sudden you have this phenomenon that everybody believes it, right? Or a good chunk of people believe it. And now you've got everybody trying to prove it. Yeah. And when you got all those people trying to prove something, right, you can't trust anything.
Right.
Because they're trying hard to prove to you. And what are they going to do to prove it? How far will they go? What will they say? What will they do to make you believe what the one person may or may not have seen? Because that one person may be legit, he may be honest, but then all the other shit around him discredits him because they're trying so hard to prove shit that they weren't even there for. they're just taking somebody's word for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, though, I was talking to my wife about this earlier. It was like, if all this stuff actually does exist, then I find it interesting that the government hasn't come forward at this point and been like, yeah, like, aliens are real, UFOs are real, like, you guys are right, but we've recovered spacecraft before. Like, what the hell is the big deal?
So the government, look, man, here's what I can say about that. If they are real, the government will never tell us.
No, exactly. I know they won't.
And the reason why the government will never tell us is because of power and money.
Right.
And control. Because the minute that there's something that's more important than them is the minute that we stop putting people in power.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because now our focus is these space beings. You know what I mean? Yeah. We can't focus on each other. We can't focus on getting oil from the Arabs, and we can't focus on, you know, going in and liberating this country. Everybody's going to be looking up to the stars. And we lose that control.
Well, I mean, that's what I said to her. I said, you know, if the government came out and said, hey, UFOs are real, they've been visiting our planet for years, and we've recovered spacecraft and blah, 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 all this stuff. People start to question, like, okay, well, if they've confirmed that there is, that we're not alone and there's something else out there, then how long have they been around? What is my connection to them? Like, where did they come from? Where did I come from? You start to question, like, religion, and then, like, religion crumbles, right. And there's a lot of, like, and that's when I feel like,
dude, I think religion's already crumbling, bro.
Oh, no, it totally is. There's a lot of people that don't believe it anymore. It's starting to feel like a fucking bullshit, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think
it's crumbling. There's the use of religion has become different. The changing religion,
mm-hmm.
they're changing focus. They're changing, like, the style of teaching. And it's like, and that alone makes you wonder,
mm-hmm.
if what you believed in was ever anything, because if they can just change it on a whim to try and attract more people to the religion, right?
Right.
Kind of weird to me, like, oh, wait, so you mean all this stuff that was in the Bible is not really what we need to do? Like, tell me, what do I need to do then? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's like a set of rules. People know, like, how to stay in line, right? Oh, well, it would turn into the Purge.
we changed this rule because it wasn't politically correct. Like, okay, cool then. So, like, we can just do that willy-nilly? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, I was watching United Shades, W. Kamau Bell. Love that dude. Shout out. He'll never hear this. Anyway, I was watching this, and he had an episode where it was, like, you know, about Mormons and stuff like that. And legit, like, they change their religion, like, something like every couple years or something like that. They all get together and, like, oh, what's working? What's not working? And it's like, then the prophet's like, oh, I talked to God. He said it was cool. We could do this. Right. And they're like, oh, word. All right. Let's do that. Like, they were, like, so, like, against, they were, like, super against, like, gays, and, like, now they're starting to come around to, like.
You know what that reminds me of? So, everybody knows, who listens to this podcast, knows Jim Rock.
Which is great that they're starting to come around to it. And, like, yeah. You know, you got people like Imagine Dragons was on the episode, and, like, the dude that is, like, the lead singer, he's Mormon, and, like, he is, like, advocating for, you know, gay rights and stuff like that within the Mormon communities, because right now they get excommunicated from the church. Like, it's like they just erase them, like they never existed. They're like, oh, okay, awesome. Well, go be gay, right? And, like, you just can't be part of us, right? Like, they shun them, and it's, like, it's crazy. And, like, these guys are fighting for them. So, I mean, I think it's a great thing that they're trying to affect change, but I'm just saying, like, it's a religion, like, How is it just like, oh yeah, it's not cool now, but it's cool now.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I agree with you on that point, because I was with Jim, this is like a couple of years back, and he made, like, such a, like, in his own comedic way, made a really funny point. We walked to, like, a convenience store, and on the way out, there was a newspaper that was, like, for that week. And it said, it was the new Pope, the same Pope we have now. He was like, Pope has now said that the Catholic Church, women that have had abortions can now be absolved of their sins, right? Like, before, if you had an abortion, that was a sin, like, you committed murder, right? And they would not give you any absolution for that. And now they've allowed the church to actually give absolution for that, right? And here's the thing. So Jim goes, I said, I think it's funny how, like, they just decided that they can, like, absolve women now. Like, they just changed the rules. And then I said, it makes me question it. And then Jim goes, yeah, he goes, I like how they just think they can change, man. He goes, I have a lot of problems with organized religion. He goes, what do you mean? And he goes, well, take the Bible, for instance. He goes, all that stuff happened. He goes, you know what the Bible is for me? He goes, it's a bunch of stories. He goes, where people drinking, there's two things. He goes, it's a lot of people drinking wine and shit that is hard to believe. And I was like, it's actually a really good point. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting, man.
Look, man, for me, the Bible is like a field guide.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? like
Bart Simpson's Guide to Life.
Exactly. You look, I mean, like, you know, you could always look up a story in the Bible that relates to something that you're going through or something that you need some help processing, and they're well written to the point where, you know, it actually, you know, can be helpful. But to take it as like law is kind of weird to me, man, especially since it was like written friggin' centuries ago, you know?
Let me read something to you. This is the, and then we're going to end on this. I was reading this earlier. This is a guy who, I've talked about this book a bunch of times, called Behold the Pale Horse. It's written by William Cooper. It's about
death.
And he has all of these, like,
you know, documents. That, right? You know, Death Rides a Pale Horse?
Yeah, that's exactly right. What it is. Yeah, that's why that's what that is.
Yeah.
And so he's got all of these, like, documents in here and letters that people have written to him about, you know, they were worked in the government. And this one guy he worked on projects where a crash happened, and he was legit called to the crash site for 3 weeks. It's like X-Files shit, man. They covered it up. They covered up the crash site with like domes and buildings to hide it from the public, and they worked on it, dismantled it, and then took it to another location. And mm-hmm. This guy was called in to do tests on the soil and do tests on like the material and stuff like that. He's like a physicist, right?
Yeah.
And so he said this, and this is a guy that has seen stuff with his own eyes over the periods of 12 years. This is what he said. This is like two paragraphs, so bear with me. He goes, "After 12 years, we probably don't even know what it is or how to make it. I'm positive that at the very least, they have two of the aircraft hidden somewhere and probably have learned very little from them other than they exist. However, the company that I was associated with has made some gigantic leaps forward in electromagnetic forces. Perhaps they did learn something from it after all. If we wish to assume that these aircraft are not from this Earth and are from way out there in space, then my goodness, the planet must be full of visitors. The air traffic alone must be fantastic. It seems to me that whoever they are, they have found it easier to land in the water rather than on our dry earth. Perhaps it was designed to land on water or a very flat surface. I have never really had any feelings one way or another about ETs. I have elected to deal with hard evidence only. That was prior to 1975. For those few years afterwards, I could not help but interject some opinions into my brain." And this is the last paragraph. "As I would rather deal with hard evidence only, I'm forced to put all of this on the plate and take a good hard look at it, at the tilting of the scales. There is far too much here to ignore. I must confess that I had somewhat leaned towards the experimental aircraft story, but as the years passed, it became evident that there was only a cover story. Too much time has passed, and our aircraft is pretty much the same. There is no doubt in my mind There is no doubt in my mind that we, as well as others, are constantly experimenting with new aircraft. However, at this late date, I am reasonably certain that those crash sites were not made by anything that we are familiar with. And then again, I still kind of reserve that possibility. As you can see, I have many mixed feelings about it." So that's like a dude that has like seen stuff with his own eyes, like only relied on hard evidence, but like after all the stuff he's seen, he starts to actually question, like, if it's not our stuff, then where's it actually coming from? I mean, and I think that's crazy for somebody that's seen it with his own eyes, mm-hmm. still debates it. Like, right. That's nuts. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, I don't know. That's me. I debate everything, man.
Yeah.
It like even stuff that I've seen with my own eyes. Cause who knows like where that came from.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and say I would have to see three UFOs.
Right, no, right.
Like, I, you know, one would do, but it would have to be significant. It couldn't be fleeting. It couldn't be like, oh, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
You'd have to see something definitive.
That shit would have to, it would have to be definitive. It would have to be like, oh, shit. And I'd have to be able to see inside a cockpit and see an alien fly in it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Right? Because otherwise, like he's saying, like, you know, could it be experimental aircraft? Right. Could it be something that we made? Could it be something else entirely? Who knows, like, what the hell it is, right?
So what you're saying is that, like, you're never going to believe that. Because there's no fucking way, bro, you're going to end up in a fucking cockpit and see aliens flying in. Like, that is the most ridiculous expectation for you to believe, bro. Like, give me a break, dude. It's got to...
Yeah.
Dude, that shit's got to land on your head.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man, like... Like, I've said it before, man. I've got a
I believe in Santa Claus, bro, but he's got to come down the chimney and give me a hand job, or I'm not going to believe it.
As good a chance of me shaking hands with Superman as there is of me seeing a UFO.
It's so stupid, bro.
But it's true.
Nah, it's not, though, because we know Superman's not real, bro, because he was created by somebody, an artist. That's, I don't even fucking know who.
But how do you know that it wasn't inspired by something?
Yo, because
you don't.
All right, no, we have strongman competitions, bro, but we've never seen someone fly, and like
we've never seen someone fly,
dude. All right, you show me one dude that fly. All right, and so, I mean, yeah, it's a valid point, but thank still, you.
That's all I'm saying.
But still, dude, I want
roll credits.
I want to know who created Superman.
Huh?
Who created Superman? Superman.
God.
No, no, no. Like, who created him? Like, the artist. Who was his name?
Oh, Joe Shuster? No, that was Joe Simon?
I don't know. We'll look it up right now, because I really want to know.
The artist? Yeah. I think it was Simon.
Creator of Superman.
Am I wrong?
Jerry Siegel. By writer Jerry Siegel and artist Joe Shuster.
Joe Shuster. I was right the first time.
Yeah. So, I would want to know where that came from. Like, why, where did this character and his imagination come from? Right? Because it was published on April 18th, 1938.
Yeah, so let's say that the character came from, like, the powers of the Greek gods of mythology, right? The Greek mythology, right? But where did the Greek gods come from?
Right.
Were they aliens?
No, I don't know. I mean, wait a minute. Really, this is like...
Or where were the stories of the Greek gods inspired from? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I guess...
And it keeps going back, and it goes back, and it goes back. So I'm not saying that Superman himself exists, but I'm saying Superman is derived from something that may have existed. If aliens exist, something could have existed way back when... that could do the things that Superman can do that inspired generations of stories to go on and on and on to the point where we now have the classic superhero.
That's fair. I'll take that. All right. Well, with that being said, I think that's a perfect way to end it. That's fair, man. I can't argue with that. So, 'cause that's pretty much what a lot of our theories are when we talk about UFOs and aliens and where they came from. So, well, we will catch you guys in 2 weeks for our next episode. So stick around.
Peace.
Later. Thanks for listening to the Redbeard Podcast, which is part of the Nerd Ruckus Network. Please take a moment and like our Facebook page and share your thoughts on the episode as well as what you would like to hear us discuss. Also, give us a follow on Redbeard Podcast and Nerd Ruckus on Instagram and Twitter. And check out nerdruckus.com for all of our entertainment channels.